In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. On the fifth Sunday after Easter, dear faithful, this is the rather austere counsel given us by the Apostle St. James. And to depart a little bit from what I had prepared, they are words that I think our generation has a greater need of hearing. How many of us, indeed, remain just hearers and not hearers and doers, or should I say more appropriately, watchers, faces and our phones constantly. If you feel accused, well, I assure you, unfortunately, I speak of what I know best, so you are in good company. But that being said, we all have an effort to make. We know full well that during the course of our earthly life, we receive countless graces from God through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Blessed Virgin Mary, and the saints. To be blunt, we don't have any trouble receiving things. How many times have we been helped, both spiritually and materially, in times of distress and uncertainty? How many rosaries have we been given the time to recite? How many hours have we been able to spend before the Blessed Sacrament? How many communions have we received? How many confessions have we had the time to make? Could we doubt that during any of these instances, the good Lord refused to pour forth his graces abundantly into our souls? Heaven preserve us from such a lapse of judgment. God is generous. We know that he has not limited his aid to the realm of the purely spiritual. Many of us could recall specific instances when we were literally without our daily bread, whether it was a meal or fuel for the car, some other real, concrete necessity. And our Heavenly Father, inspiring charity in the heart of our neighbor, came to our assistance to provide us with what we lacked. Yet if we examine the quality of our response to all the gifts we have been privileged to receive, it is certain that there is room for salutary shame. The fact is that no, we have not corresponded as we should have and could have to the aids, both material and spiritual, both natural and supernatural, that our Lord has given us, and to do the work of God. We are approaching now the feasts of the Ascension and, after it, the Feast of Pentecost, which is above all the time of the sending forth of the Holy Ghost. His place as the principle of all our supernatural thoughts, words, and actions merits closer examination, beginning with the divine works that he inspired and carried to fruition in the apostles. Blessed Columba Marmion teaches us that the interior life of the Holy Trinity, in this interior life of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the consummation of the divine life, its ultimate term, he who brings to perfection. The divine operations. This is why Holy Mother Church has always attributed to him the work of sanctification in our souls, the transmission of graces and their ultimate crowning point. And the good work, or thought, or word is finally accomplished. It is also for this reason that he has been called the divine artist and the index, or the index finger, of God's right hand. The first result of this supernatural perfection in the souls of the apostles was their minds being filled with the truth. The obvious response is, had not our Lord Jesus Christ already done this for them? by time spent with them, by imparting his divine teachings. He declares himself, after all, the way, the truth, and the life. But we know there came a time when he could no longer dwell with the apostles bodily. And so in provision of his departure, his ascension into heaven, he will send them his own spirit to dwell in their souls and guide them interiorly. Christ tells the apostles before leaving this world, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind whatsoever I shall have said to you, because he shall receive of mine, he shall show it to you. But what of the apostles and their fate in the concrete circumstances of their ministry after the ascension of the divine master? They'll be dragged before synagogues and before tribunals to give an account of their faith, rather to stand accused, but to have an opportunity nevertheless to give this account, to explain and articulate the faith. And these were men who, quite simply, were not educated. They were humble fishermen. Here, the Holy Spirit comes to their aid in a totally particular way, a way in which he has not operated in any other souls, nor ever will. He filled the minds of the apostles with a complete, articulate, and perfect knowledge and understanding of all the articles of the faith, instilling in them also a singular courage without fail to preach the faith in the face of certain persecution and death. Because it is by preaching that Christ intended the faith to be spread to the farthest corners of the earth, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles in the form of what is referred to as by sacred scripture as tongues of fire. This fire must be understood, in the first place, to be the love of God, divine charity, indeed, God's own inner life. The imparting of divine charity is especially attributed to the Holy Ghost. He is personal love in the interior life of the Holy Trinity. He is like the breath, the aspiration of infinite love from which we came into existence. In the book of Genesis, it is revealed that God formed man from the slime of the earth and breathed into his face the breath of life. This life-giving breath, we must understand, is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the source of supernatural life. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost breathed such a plenitude of life into the whole church that there came really a great sound from heaven, like that of a great wind, a sound which filled the whole house where the apostles were gathered. And the apostles needed the Holy Ghost to breathe divine life into their souls. Why? Because it is the supernatural love that they have received that they are to impart to the souls of those to whom they will preach the name of Jesus Christ. It was therefore necessary that their preaching be full of divine life and love. They will also be filled with a remarkable courage, a remarkable spirit of fortitude. Look at St. Peter. Many of us could point to examples of timidity, cowardice in our own lives, and St. Peter, before being changed interiorly by the Holy Ghost and given this special grace, in many ways, he was like us. On the night of our Lord's arrest, he cowered from proclaiming his faith in Christ 3 times in a very short space of time because it would mean his own very probable arrest and death. But on the day of Pentecost, the contrast could not be more stark. He preaches the name of Jesus before thousands of Jews, and he fearlessly reproaches them for having crucified the Messiah. He boldly proclaims the resurrection of Christ and exhorts them all to be baptized in his name. St. Peter is no longer the timid man following Christ from a distance. The Holy Ghost has transformed him into a courageous apostle, declaring Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. He's unrecognizable compared to the man he used to be, because the Holy Ghost has made him strong and generous. The Holy Ghost can do this for us as well, each and every one of you. It is not only St. Peter who has been transformed. Sacred Scripture gives witness to the dramatic change wrought by the Holy Ghost in the souls of all the apostles. In the days after his resurrection, where were they? They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Once they've received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of fortitude, they deliver themselves up to the torments of the Jews, openly preaching the divinity of Christ. And then they even rejoiced that they would be counted worthy to suffer for the name of our Lord. The Holy Ghost, moreover, will not only give them fortitude to suffer for their Lord, he will console and sustain them in suffering as well. And he is known, we call him, in the hymn of the Veni Creator, Consolator Optime, best of all consolers. So the Holy Ghost is, let it be deeply impressed in our minds and hearts, the divine friend of our soul, the divine best friend. He who initiates, accompanies, and brings to perfection all of our acts which merit us further graces. Most importantly, that grace, the last moment of life here on earth, a final perseverance to a blessed eternity. Too often, we fail to be doers of the word and remain hearers only, because at the critical moment, we do not have recourse in prayer to the Holy Ghost. This divine Spirit, who would act through us, though not without us, were we not to put up obstacles or let our fear get the better of us. So let us always strive to live in union with him, for this is the key to doing the will of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.